Welcome to The Value of Knowing, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of legal complexity and opportunity on the vibrant continent of Africa. Stay tuned for expert insights and a closer look at the legal landscape in Africa, where Bowmans helps its clients to manage legal complexity and unlock opportunity. That's The Value of Knowing.
Welcome to our panel, John C.A.K., Vanessa Jacqueline Levine, and Ashley Brink. John is the head of IP and technology at our offices based in Nairobi, Kenya. Vanessa is a partner in the commercial litigation team based in Johannesburg, South Africa. And Ashley is a senior associate within the technology, media, and telecommunications practice based in Cape Town, South Africa. And I'm your host, Ashley Graham. I'm a partner in our corporate risk litigation team based in Johannesburg, South Africa. Today, our discussion will be focusing on the African AI governance lag. Where is Africa in its regulation process compared to key international jurisdictions? So just to start things off, AI is an issue that is increasingly a topic of discussion from the simplicities of everyday life, like asking ChatGPT what shoes should be worn with what length of trousers, to increasingly sophisticated tasks that scaringly look set to completely transform the world of work. But the world is now assessing its approach to regulating this Goliath. And how is the world coping with this challenge, I wonder? Ashley, can you set the scene and take us through some of the key legal developments around AI globally?
So there has been significant momentum globally with regard to AI regulation, but approaches vary quite substantially across the various jurisdictions. So in the United States, a comprehensive federal AI framework is still lacking. However, we are seeing increasing legislative activity at the state level. So, for instance, California has recently enacted a bill called AB 2013, which requires providers of generative AI systems, such as OpenAI, for example, to disclose the data sets used to train their models. And at least 30 other states have introduced legislation addressing matters such as bias, biometric data, and deepfakes. There was also a proposal recently, which is informally referred to as the Big Beautiful Bill, which included an AI moratorium that would have prevented states from regulating AI for several years. That proposal was ultimately rejected by the Senate, reinforcing that AI governance in the US is currently state-driven and fragmented. In late July, the US actually unveiled its AI action plan, which focused on accelerating innovation, expanding their national AI infrastructure, and reinforcing American leadership on the global stage. The plan supports open source AI development. It is trying to reduce federal regulatory hurdles and prioritizes the international competitiveness of US AI exports. Then in the United Kingdom, the government has opted for a pro-innovation approach. So rather than introducing binding legislation, the UK relies on sector-specific regulators and non-binding guidance. That said, it has made institutional investments, so most notably in the AI Safety Institute, which now also operates in San Francisco and contributes to global safety standards. The EU has taken the most robust and structured approach. Its AI Act, which came into force in August 2024, establishes a comprehensive legal framework that categorizes AI systems based on risk. It prohibits certain high-risk applications outright. It imposes strict obligations on high-risk systems and requires transparency for general-purpose AI models such as GPT. Then in China, the regulatory model is state-led and highly prescriptive. Authorities have implemented rules mandating things such as content labeling, watermarking of AI-generated outputs, and national security assessments for certain generative AI systems. China also recently released its action plan for global AI governance. The plan emphasizes aligning AI governance with the UN Sustainability Development Goals, setting global norms and technical standards, and encouraging international cooperation to bridge the digital divide. China's approach focuses on rather fostering responsible AI innovation while enhancing cross-border dialogue on ethics, safety, and regulation. And then last but not least, in South Africa does not currently have any laws or statutory compliance standards specifically regulating AI or the use of generative AI tools. However, the South African government has started the process of developing a national AI policy. So in October 2024, the South African government published the South African National AI Policy Framework and has invited public comments and submissions, but that's of no force of yet. So in summary, there's certainly not a one-size-fits-all approach globally when it comes to AI regulation.
And so I understand from all of that that the regulatory focus is mainly on the underlying data safety and privacy concerns, and that there are no general regulatory reforms to address how one can use AI or not use AI, for example, at schools or within the workplace. And I understand then also that the EU is considered the forerunner in its approach to regulating AI. Is that the case?
Yes, so the EU AI Act is widely regarded as the gold standard due to its comprehensiveness, enforceability, and extraterritorial reach. So much like the GDPR in the data privacy space, the AI Act is already influencing regulatory thinking worldwide. It adopts this risk-based structure, allowing legislators to focus scrutiny on high-risk use cases, such as AI use in recruitment, credit scoring, and critical infrastructure, while allowing a lighter touch oversight for lower-risk applications. Importantly, the Act also extends to general-purpose AI models, and to support early alignment, the EU has actually recently introduced a voluntary code of practice, which provides guidance for model providers ahead of the Act's full implementation. And this code of practice covers transparency, ensuring training data respects EU copyrights, and safety and security. A growing number of leading AI companies have actually already voluntarily signed this code of practice, including OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon. Notably, though, Meta has declined to sign this code on the basis that the document contains legal uncertainties and extends beyond the scope of the Act, essentially amounting to regulatory overreach, and they say it could hinder the development and deployment of frontier AI models, particularly in Europe. So from a South African perspective, there may in fact be strategic value in a slower mover or wait and see approach. It essentially can allow policymakers to observe like how the EU Act is applied in practice and to draw lessons from early implementation challenges and global industry responses. Given the alignment between South Africa's POPIA and the GDPR, it seems likely that South Africa may look to the EU AI Act as a model. Watching how that regime unfolds puts the country in a strong position to develop contextually relevant, globally harmonized AI regulation in due course.
So Ashley, I will come back to you, but John, can you take us through what Kenya's response is to AI as the fourth industrial revolution? Does it have in place an approach to regulating AI?
Not much. The Kenyan government is still trying to develop local rules or laws and policy around how to deal with AI. Whilst they may draw influence from international regulation, the government, through its AI task force that came up with its recently launched AI strategy, has made it clear that they need to develop uniquely tailored regulation and policy for Kenya while still being at the forefront of adoption of AI in Africa. The government does not want to stifle innovation, but they will also want to protect citizens' rights, especially the data that will be collected from them. They are careful about applying wholesale laws and rules that may not have application locally. As such, because there's no law in place, Kenyan businesses have to be guided by a myriad of laws touching on consumer protection, data protection, intellectual property, employment law, and the constitution of Kenya when entering into AI contracts.
So John, practically speaking, without regulation in Kenya, how are Kenyan businesses navigating AI-related risks, particularly around liability and data protection?
A lot of Kenyan businesses are being very careful on use and integration of AI in their day-to-day business operations. They still do not understand its full expanse and the risks that are involved in deploying these AI tools in their systems. Many are using common generative AI tools like ChatGPT and not bespoke AI tools, and this is largely for research and study. Kenya has a robust Data Protection Act in place that is being enforced, and as such, Kenyan businesses that collect, control, and process data need to be very compliant with that law. One of the concerns for many Kenyan businesses here is that when one uses these AI tools, that they do not control, and where the contract with the developer of the AI limits their liability for any misuse of data, then the business is exposed to regulatory sanction or lawsuits. Hence, many Kenyan businesses are discouraging the use of widely available public AI tools for their day-to-day business operations.
Thanks, John. So, Vanessa, John has now touched on the risks that businesses in Kenya may be exposed to from a regulatory standpoint or lawsuits. Equally applicable to the South African or even Pan-African landscape, what are the most common legal vulnerabilities that businesses face when using an AI product or contracting in an AI model or tool, and how can businesses preemptively address them?
When businesses contract in the AI space, several legal vulnerabilities frequently arise. The most common would include liability. So the creators and the sellers of AI are usually either by operation of law or as a result of contractual terms and conditions excluded from liability when things go wrong. Things going wrong would include data breaches, intellectual property claims, inaccurate information or hallucinations. Liability then falls on the users, making it difficult when more than one user was involved in the case of employees using AI. Generally, employers would be vicariously liable for things going wrong when employees use AI in the workplace. Without clear workplace policies and contractual terms, disputes may arise over who is liable for errors, data breaches, or unintended outcomes and damages. Another vulnerability is interpretation. The ordinary rules of contractual interpretation would apply to AI-generated clauses or contracts that are governed by South African law. If there is ambiguity or uncertainty in the wording of AI-generated contractual clauses or an AI-generated contract, it is likely that our courts will apply the interpretation that is least favorable to the party who used AI to draft those AI-generated clauses or contract. Another vulnerability is intellectual property. Questions often emerge around ownership of AI-generated outputs, underlying algorithms, and training data. If contracts do not specify IP rights, parties may find themselves in costly disputes. Lastly, data privacy and security risks. AI systems often require large data sets, some of which may contain personal, confidential, or sensitive information. Inadequate contractual provisions regarding data protection can expose businesses to regulatory penalties and reputational harm. To preemptively address these vulnerabilities, businesses should consider their workplace policies and employment contracts, clearly defining responsibility, obligations, and liability, including disciplinary processes in the workplace, as well as employee training when it comes to AI. Draft detailed contracts, clearly define liability, IP ownership, data usage rights, and performance standards. Include indemnities and warranties. Ensure the contract contains robust indemnities for breaches and warranties regarding the quality and compliance with intellectual property and data protection laws when using AI. Address data protection. Incorporate clauses that require compliance with relevant data protection laws and set out responsibilities for data security and confidentiality. And plan for dispute resolution. Specify mechanisms for resolving disputes that are cost-effective, timely, and confidential to limit reputational damage, such as various forms of mediation and/or arbitration, and choose an appropriate governing law. AI-related disputes often involve highly technical subject matter. Traditional courts may not yet have the necessary technical expertise to fully understand and adjudicate these issues. In contrast, mediation and arbitration allows parties to select mediators or arbitrators with specific expertise in AI and related technologies. AI systems are frequently developed, deployed, and used across multiple jurisdictions, and this can create complex questions about which country's law apply and where disputes should be resolved. Arbitration, in particular, is well suited to cross-border disputes because it allows parties to choose a neutral forum and applicable law, and arbitral awards are widely enforceable internationally under treaties, for example, like the New York Convention.
Thanks for that, Vanessa. So Ashley, it seems that based on what Vanessa and John have told us, that absent an overarching regulatory approach by a country with regards to AI, most businesses in Kenya and South Africa will rely on, for the time being, workplace policies, detailed contracts, and pre-existing data protection or privacy legislation. How can African businesses align with international AI standards, especially in the absence of a unified regulation across the continent?
So this is an important and timely question. So while most African jurisdictions have not yet adopted comprehensive AI legislation, businesses can nonetheless take meaningful steps to align with emerging global standards. So firstly, it's important to adopt a risk-based approach to AI governance. That means classifying your AI systems according to their level of risk, much like the EU model, and applying controls that are proportionate. For example, systems that process personal data or influence key decisions like hiring or credit scoring should be subject to a much more rigorous oversight than low-risk tools used for internal automation or for emails, for example. Secondly, businesses should take advantage of international voluntary standards. One particularly helpful resource is the NIST AI Risk Management Framework. It's a non-binding but globally respected tool, which is designed to help organizations identify, assess, manage, and monitor risks associated with AI systems throughout their lifecycle. The framework actually offers practical guidance on issues like fairness, transparency, robustness, and accountability, and serves as a solid foundation, especially for companies operating in jurisdictions where formal regulation has not yet caught up. Finally, it's essential to implement layered AI risk mitigation measures that combine contractual, procedural, and governance controls. Contracts with AI vendors should address IP, data use, confidentiality, and require transparency on model training and performance. Procedurally, companies should avoid inputting sensitive data into public tools. They should review outputs in high-risk areas and then monitor for bias or errors. Strong governance includes assigning oversight, maintaining audit trails, and ensuring AI-driven decisions remain subject to human review. Regulation across much of Africa is still in its early stages, but that actually presents a strategic advantage. By aligning now with these international standards and best practices, businesses can position themselves ahead of the curve, ready to respond as the African Union and national regulators begin to formalize their approaches to AI governance.
Thanks, Ashley. So then, John, what is on the horizon for Kenya? As I understand, Kenya recently launched their AI strategy for 2025 to 2030. Do you anticipate a clearer regulatory framework for AI contracting in Kenya?
I think we are still in the early stages of regulatory development. Still, as a country, going to rely on existing laws, as I said earlier, contract, IP, data protection, employment, and cybersecurity laws, to provide guidance when contracting AI via licensing or commission development of bespoke tools, deployment and use. I think for sure legal teams need to prepare for more dispute issues arising and be more risk averse when reviewing contracts these early stages because of a lack of clarity on how these contracts will be interpreted. This include understanding the scope permitted use of the AI tool under its terms of use, geographical restrictions, jurisdictional issues, limitation of liability, for instance, hallucination, bias, warranties, indemnities when looking at the contract, and applicable law. In terms of IP, clearly understanding who owns the IP rights to any output derived from the AI tools, open source issues, data, prompts, customer queries are a common theme that arises, which is covered under our existing IP laws.
And Vanessa, you know, what about South Africa? Ashley's touched on this earlier, but with regards to a comprehensive AI legislation, is it there something in the making? And how do you see this playing out when a dispute arises with regards to the use of AI?
Yes, the absence of comprehensive AI-specific legislation in South Africa does create a degree of legal uncertainty for businesses and individuals involved in AI-related disputes. The National Artificial Policy Framework of 2024 does provide policy direction, but does not have the force of law. And as a result, parties must rely on existing legal frameworks, such as contract law, intellectual property law, data protection statutes like POPIA, and the common law, and the developing case law. So this gap affects dispute resolution strategies in several ways. Reliance on general or common law principles. Courts and arbitrators will interpret AI-related disputes using general or common law legal principles, which may not always be well suited to the unique challenges posed by AI. Contractual clarity becomes critical. In the absence of statutory guidance, the terms of the contract take on a heightened importance. Parties should ensure that their contracts are comprehensive and anticipate potential AI-specific issues. Uncertainty in outcomes. With the lack of precedent and specific regulation, this means that outcomes in AI disputes may be less predictable, increasing the risk for all parties. This uncertainty will lessen as our case law develops, but unfortunately, arbitration awards are not made public and as a result will not contribute to our case law. However, the developing guidelines for arbitrations are contributing to certainty in how AI can be used during arbitration. For example, the Association of Arbitrators Southern Africa has issued guidance and commentary on the use of AI in arbitrations. The potential for policy influence. While not legally binding, the policy framework may influence how courts and arbitrators interpret disputes, especially as it reflects the government's stance on responsible AI use.
And as a last question then, Vanessa, do you see AI not only affecting the everyday for everyone, but that this will also present a new wave of litigation, particularly in Africa? And will the lack of overarching regulation give way to a completely new body of case law? Obviously, I take your point on arbitrations being private, but I think generally speaking, where the courts are concerned.
Yes, definitely. Because as of now, there's been very few, if any, reported AI-specific legal disputes in South Africa. Some cases may have touched on technology, on the data protection, on automated systems, particularly within the context of POPIA. But they have not focused on the unique legal challenges that have been posed by AI itself. But as AI becomes more integrated into business and public life, which it will, because it's here to stay, it is expected that disputes will increase, particularly in areas such as contractual disputes, which will probably be over performance, liability, and IP rights in AI development and deployment agreements, on data protection breaches involving the misuse or mishandling of data by AI, and on bias and discrimination, a whole area of constitutional law, claims under anti-discrimination laws may develop. Some international jurisdictions, for example, the US and the UK and European Union, have begun to see these cases already involving AI, particularly in areas like intellectual property and data privacy. South African courts may look to these foreign judgments for guidance as our disputes arise. Litigation in this area is likely to evolve in several ways. First, by the development of precedent for those cases that do go before the courts. A body of case law will develop, providing greater clarity and predictability. specialist expertise. Courts and legal practitioners will need to develop expertise in AI technologies to effectively understand and resolve these disputes and the increased use of alternative dispute resolution. Because, as I've said before, given the technical complexity of AI, parties may increasingly turn to arbitration or mediation where expert knowledge can be brought to bear to resolve the disputes.
Well, thank you, Ashley, John, and Vanessa, for your insights on where we are and what lies ahead for Africa, both from a regulatory perspective at the front end and considering how this may pan out in the back end where disputes are concerned. It is a fascinating time to see how the world, particularly Africa, will adapt to this new frontier.
If you would like to get in touch or find out more about Bowmans, please visit bowmanslaw.com.